I'm going to turn in your copy of God's Word to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting, and we'll be looking at verses 14 and 15 this morning as we continue through our study through Paul's final epistle. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting verse 14 and 15. But before we dive into this passage, let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are the one who by your mercy has revealed that you are the one due us singing hallelujah to. You are the one who has brought us from death to life in Christ. You are the one who is glorious in all your working. You are the one who is sovereign over all things. And Lord, today you are the one that you graciously allow us to gather together as your people collectively to praise your name. So Lord, would you remind us right now, as we will see, Lord willing, this week and the week to come, that our time of worship doesn't stop when the singing is done. Right now, we are going to enter into a sweet time of worship, pleading that the Word of God, through the power of the Spirit, would stir us to see afresh your worth, and therefore move us to praise and delight in the God who has saved us. And so, Father, to do this, I recognize I have no ability. I can't bring this exaltation and exaltation about. And so, Lord, I confess and ask afresh that you would be gracious to please, Father, get me out of the way. Not only get me out of the way so that you would shine forth, but Lord, get me out of the way that I would never be tempted afresh to think that any changes, any acts that you work have anything to do with me. I am simply an instrument in your hand for you to use to make much of yourself. And Lord, would you murder any pride within me? So Father, I ask and pray that again, we would be a people who with eyes that are given fresh sight, behold and treasure Jesus Christ the righteous. May everything said and done during this time stir us to hallow the name of Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope that you were enjoying 2019 so far. If not, you got a lot left. I so look forward to the multiple and multitude of gatherings the Lord will grant us as a body this year. I am particularly excited about today, our first Sunday together in the new year. That is because today we will see some sweet reminders and expressions of hope that, Lord willing, will stir deep affection and newly resolved delight in our Lord this year and beyond. Today, as we continue through our study of Paul's final epistle that he ever wrote, 2 Timothy, before his execution in Rome, we come to his important declaration to Timothy to remember where he came from and what the foundation of his progression in the Christian life is rooted in. To see this, we must recall what we've examined last week. Look with me at the powerful words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Here Paul says, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." If you recall from last week, Paul makes clear that those in Christ who desire to honor the Lord with a godly life rooted in and to the glory of Jesus, they can expect to face persecution and difficulties. This is because, as Paul continues to make clear in verse 13, things are going to move from bad to worse. Look at verse 13. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And the great expression of this downward spiral is that those who are deceived, as this text says, go about the work of deceiving others around them. It's not just that people are deceived, it's that they long to deceive others as well. Well, in a world like this, what hope is there for us? Well, it is the same hope Paul reminds Timothy in verse 14 and 15. And as we will see, both this week and next week, our hope for ongoing growth and Christ exaltation and resting in the work of the Lord has everything to do with the precious Scriptures, the inerrant and sufficient Word of God. So look with me at what Paul says to young Pastor Timothy in the first part of verse 14. After saying that you will face persecution and it will go on from bad to worse and people will be deceiving others and as in their deception, but as for you. Right on the front end, before we go any further, you must see that Paul expresses that while the world around him is on this downward spiral of deceit, he has been convinced of a far different outcome for Timothy. What is the reason for this confidence? Well, Paul is going to challenge Timothy and us to continue in where we've been. Look at the rest of verse 14 to look at it all together. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Notice that Paul challenges Timothy to continue or press onward in what he has already been rooted in. And what is it that he is to be reminded of? He is to recall and continue what he has learned, what he has believed, and remember, or the text says, know from whom he learned it. First, from whom did Timothy learn these things? Well, I believe that when Paul says this, he has three primary individuals in mind. I believe Paul is the first person he had in mind when he reminded Timothy whom he had learned these things from. We already know, based on verse 2 of chapter 1 of this book, that Paul saw Timothy himself as a spiritual son to Paul. Or, put it another way, that Paul saw himself as a spiritual father to Timothy. He called Timothy his, quote-unquote, beloved child in verse 2 of chapter 1. We also know that Paul played an enormous role as an instrument in the hands of the Lord to impact the life and growth of Timothy. Remember that Paul led Timothy to Christ in Lystra. Paul is the one that gave Timothy this ministry opportunity as the shepherd of the church in Ephesus. Paul taught, as we saw in verse 10 and 11 in 2 Timothy 3, by both word and example, what Timothy should be pursuing. Paul was one of the godly men who laid hands of affirmation on Timothy at his ordination, and even now, his final months, maybe even final days of life, Paul is continuing to guide and mentor Timothy in the midst of his pastoral ministry. However, by the mercy of God, Paul had a strong foundation to build these things upon. And that is where the other two people of whom I believe Paul was discussing when he said Timothy should remember who taught him these things. And those two other people are Timothy's mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. The reason I believe this is who Paul is talking about also and who he has in mind is because of his words at the beginning of verse 15. Just look at verse 15, just the first part of it before we continue on. And how from childhood, after saying, knowing from whom you've learned it, in verse 15, Paul says, and how from childhood you would learn these things. So Paul is pointing to the teaching Timothy received even as a young child. Well, who taught him these things then? Well, we have already seen and been told this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. If you want to look back at verse 5, just look at verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, speaking to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. So Timothy is called to continue not only what Paul, but also what his mother and grandmother spent their time teaching him. And what was it that they set their attention to teach Timothy when he was a young child? Was it that they wanted Timothy to be acquainted primarily with manners and to be polite and to grow up to be a nice, quote-unquote, young man? Did they want to acquaint Timothy with excellent financial and business sense so that he would be very wealthy? Did they long to acquaint him in all the ins and outs of the Roman athletic world so that maybe one day he could, quote unquote, make it in the arena of sporting competition? No. Now, none of those are necessarily bad, but the sad thing is they are never primary. And what was it that this mother and grandmother made sure their child and grandchild was acquainted with? Because in their understanding, it was in their eyes the most valuable and important thing in all the universe. We'll look at verse 15 in its entirety. It tells us, as the text says, from childhood, Timothy has been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Don't you see that for Eunice, Lois, and later on, that foundation, building upon that foundation, Paul fostered and continued the importance of and centrality of the precious Word of God in the life of Timothy. Paul says these sacred writings, which were at that point during Timothy's childhood, the Old Testament Scriptures. However, they, like all of Scripture, point to salvation that is only found by placing one's faith in the person and work of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Don't take my word for it. Listen to Christ express this in Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke chapter 24, a text that is very famous when it comes to this understanding. Luke 24, verse 25 to 27. This is after the resurrection, and Christ is walking on the road to Emmaus with two disciples. And look at what he says in verse 25 into verse 27. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? And verse 27 is the crucial text. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ makes clear that all the Old Testament scriptures, no matter what section, whether it be from the books of Moses or all the prophets or any other section of the Old Testament, they all were shadows and pointers to the one who was coming to save His people. And with that foundation laid by Eunice and Lois, when Paul heralded the gospel, God in His grace opened Timothy's eyes to the glorious hope of salvation, all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Oh, the power of the Word of God. Praise the Lord, Paul didn't say, be acquainted with my words or the wisdom of men, because that will make you wise for salvation. Praise God, he doesn't say, be acquainted with the opinions of your pastor. No. As we will see next week, Lord willing, there is nothing more preeminent in the life of the church collectively or the believer individually than to be acquainted with the precious Word of God. Again, that is why Paul tells Timothy to continue in what he has learned, believe, and know from whom the sacred Word he learned it. I appreciate how on this reality David Guzik states the following. The furthest thing from Paul's mind is an attitude that says, well, of course, we are all founded on the Bible when we come to salvation. But now, we can assume and move on to other things. For Paul, this is never assumed. Not even with his trusted partner in the ministry, Timothy. Think on that. Paul is telling a pastor, a shepherd, continue in the Word. Not assuming just because of the position he has that that will somehow on its own take place. And beloved, I likewise don't want to assume anything this morning either. Whether you are a babe in Christ, a seasoned saint, a spiritual leader, or by God's grace, the one who stands up behind this pulpit week in and week out, I want to challenge us all, again, including myself, to continue in our learning and firm belief that flows from the sacred writings we have been and long to be more acquainted with. I would assume some here may have resolved in the new year to make some changes in your diet or your workout routines for the benefit of your earthly health. That's good. But can I plead with you this morning to recall that while that is beneficial and right as a good steward of the body the Lord has given you, can I remind you that the physical will and is passing away? And compared to your spiritual health and love for the Lord is far less important. With this, I want to challenge all of us to be more acquainted with the sacred scriptures for the good of our souls and the glory of the one we will see more and more through those precious scriptures. On this, I found the words of a pastor named Steve Fuller, who is currently serving in Abu Dhabi, which is in the United Arab Emirates. He wrote an article entitled, Read the Bible More This Year, Four Great Promises from God. I found it challenging but also greatly practical. And here is what he says. He says, several years ago, a friend of mine, a friend told me, and listen to this, you may find yourself right now where this friend finds himself. Listen to what he says. A friend said he was struggling to read the Bible. He knew he should read the Bible, but he had no desire to read the Scripture. He'd rather read the news, check sports scores, or look up stock prices. So what could he do? Many think the solution lies in trying harder, committing to a certain time every day, or asking for accountability. These can help, but by themselves, they miss the main way God wants to motivate us. James 2:17 says that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So whenever I lack in some area of work, some area of good works, like Bible reading, hear me. The problem is not mostly laziness or lack of discipline. My problem is a lack of faith. I am not trusting what God has promised about His Word. Don't you see that? James is saying faith without works is dead. If I'm looking at the areas of my life where works and honoring God and obedience is little, the problem is not the fruit, is that at the root of it, I have a faith problem that's low. When I'm believing the promises of God, that faith that is alive will be bearing fruit. And in this case, one of those fruits is walking with the Lord in His Word. So I gave my friend a list of what God promises to do for us through the Scriptures. I encouraged him to pray over these promises for a few minutes each day, asking God to use these promises to strengthen his faith and change his heart. He said he would. A few weeks later, I asked him how it was going, and here's his response. Unbelievable. He said he told me that by meditating on these promises, he now wanted to read God's Word. He looked forward to reading God's Word, and he was carving out extra time to read God's Word in the day. That's what God did for my friend, and that's what we pray God will do for us if we learn, remember, and trust what He has promised. If you have really struggled to read the Bible more than you do, take some time alone with God at the beginning of this year. Ask Him to strengthen your faith in what He says about His Word, and then thank and pray over these promises. And here are just four of those promises. First, remember, God's Word will revive the soul. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. God's heart-reviving work flows through the pipeline of His Word. So no matter how unspiritual you feel, when you prayerfully read God's Word in His timing, you will experience God changing your heart. When your heart feels dull and Bible reading seems boring, please plead with the Lord to help you remember that His Word revives the soul. Second, God's Word is a light to your path. Psalm 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Because of sin and Satan's lies, our path is dark. We can't see the sharp turns, steep drop-offs, and quicksand pits. But God promises that reading His Word is like shining a flashlight on a dark path. His voice shows us things we cannot see and leads us where to walk. When the future is unclear and you don't know what to do next, remember that His Word lights our path. Third, God's Word will free you from sin. John 8:31 and 32. Listen to this language. Christ speaking, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Our sins are like individual chains wrapped around us and locked. In ourselves, we are powerless against them. But Jesus promises that when we abide in His Word, praying over it and meditating on it, locks will spring open and chains will fall off. When you fall back into an old pattern of sin or discover a besetting sin that is hidden in your heart, remember His Word can set you free from the power of sin because in Christ you are already declared free. Fourth, God's Word will strengthen your faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. Too often our faith feels like a flat tire. But God promises to use His Word to fill us with faith. This means that reading God's Word is like fastening a pump to that tire and pumping in air. It won't be flat for long. When your relationship with God feels flat or seems far away, remember that His Word strengthens and nourishes our faith. I would challenge you, pray over these promises and a dozen others, and ask God to help you see their truth, believe their truth, and feel their truth. He will change your heart so that reading God's Word will no longer be something you have to do, but by His grace will become something you want to do. Once you have anchored your heart with these promises from God, here are some simple suggestions to help you begin reading the Bible more. First, choose a strategic time. There is, yes, wisdom in starting the day in God's Word, so you can head into the day with life, light, power, and faith. But I'd add that for some, that doesn't work. Most of my high school career, because of having to get up for early morning band rehearsal, that I had to be at school at 6:20, and we live downtown Raleigh, and so I had to get up at 5:30 and leave by 5:50. I won't get up before 5:30. But I will say I was strategic, and before I went to bed every night, I sought to read the Scripture. Second, choose an undistracted, quiet place. And I say that with love and grace, especially moms with little ones. I will pray for you. But pray for wisdom. Pray that God would grant you to make most of the quiet times He does give you. Third, use a fairly literal version of the Bible, like the English Standard Version, New American Standard Version, just a solid scripture. Four, use a Bible reading plan that will tell you what to read every day and take you through the whole Bible systematically. Five, begin by asking, this is crucial, every time you open your Word, these are prayers I literally play every time I open the Word to study. Here are just two of them. Ask the Lord to incline your heart to the Word, Psalm 119:36, and open your eyes to see the glories that is in His law, Psalm 119:18. Six, expect God to show you His glory, convict you of sin, teach you His truth, satisfy you with His presence, fill you with worship, call you to obedience, and assure you of His love. And seven, when you're finished for the day, thank Him for what He gave you through His Word. And think about sharing what you received with someone else. The author continues, you may already be reading God's Word consistently, but maybe you could receive even more from God's Word by spending even more time in God's Word. King David says this about the words of God, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of honeycomb. Much fine gold would be worth millions of dollars. And honey is deliciously satisfying. Imagine having a book that the more you read it, the more gold and honey you receive. Like, what if I gave you a book and I said, if you read, the more you read of this, for every amount you read, a new bar of gold is going to show up in your mailbox. Just practically think that. I bet we'd start a really quick book club. Every 10 extra minutes of reading is worth more than money can buy and tastes sweeter than the finest dessert. What an amazing book. You'd want to read it as much as you can. But the Bible is even better than that kind of book. Because the more you read the Bible, the more you get of God Himself. And God is infinitely more valuable than gold and far more satisfying than honey. So think of how you spent your time over the last year. Are there schedule changes you can make or time wasters you can avoid? so that you can read more of God's Word. Beloved, don't cheat yourself. God's Word gives more value than gold or Amazon or YouTube or Facebook, and more satisfying than honey or whatever your cravings are. May we, by God's grace, get all we can this year as we get more of God. There's nothing more important than the Lord. And pray that He would help us see this afresh this year and behold His glory as we, like Timothy, continue in what we have learned, firmly believed, and all because of the precious, inerrant, and sacred Scriptures, long to see more and more. And as we will see next week, Lord willing, this precious Word is to not only have our primary attention as individuals, but especially as we gather together as the body of Christ. Because we're going to see one of the sweetest openings and beginnings of a challenge that Paul gives in all the Scriptures before he tells Timothy to preach the Word. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe right now the Lord has been inclining in your heart and stirring you to honestly examine and say, remember how we started when I mentioned the Samuel passage? I wonder how much you would honestly say in 2018 you may have neglected spending sweet time in the presence of the Lord through His Word because you are hiding among the baggage of your life. Maybe there were just so many things that grabbed your attention, your allegiance, and your affection. As your pastor, I'm not going to up here and say, hey, try better, do harder. I'm going to say what Paul said at the beginning of Ephesians when he talked to this believing people. He said, may God reveal afresh to your heart the hope that you have in Christ. May He in His grace, by the power of His Word, fuel us to have a stronger faith that He really is better than any amount of gold the world can offer and sweeter than the greatest tasting dessert that's ever been crafted by the mind of men. May we in 2019 grow afresh in the reality that it really is in the presence of Christ. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is no end to that well, and there is no stopping of that river. And God, in His grace, calls us not to the duty of seeing Him from this Word, but from the glorious, joyful delight and gift. May we, as Paul tells Timothy, continue in what you've learned, firmly believed, and from whom you learned it. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we have been just like King Saul, hiding among the baggage of things in our lives. I confess, even as the pastor of Springs of Life, I look back in 2018 and confess my times in the Word for personal study and growth and delight in you were nowhere near where I would long for them to be. Lord, so I ask for you and your grace to stir up in my own soul deep, fresh faith and reminders of the precious, glorious treasure that is the Word of God. The sacred writings that by your mercy have brought us to salvation. Oh Lord, would you continue to open afresh the glory that is Jesus Christ? Would you remind us in 2019, that there is nothing more important than being satisfied in Jesus Christ. And Lord, in your mercy, you do this by the Spirit through the working of your Word. So Lord, may we be a Scripture-saturated people. Not just collectively, as we will see next week, but Lord willing, individually. And Father, may it not be some dutiful obligation we check the box on. For Lord, I know in the coming year there will be those seasons of ought to. Lord, it will be nothing in the well of my soul but duty. Oh, but Father, I pray that at the end of my time in Your Word, even if I go in obligation, would You help me leave in satisfying delight? Father, would You do this for the fame of Your name? And we ask it all in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.